Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
The psalm that we're going to look at today is a rather short psalm, but very significant and full of important information that speaks about God's blessings. Take out your Bible and look with me to Psalm 133. Now, many people know this psalm because there's a very famous Hebrew song that is based from it. But I want us to understand what this psalm is saying and how it contains good news for the people of God. But before we begin, allow me to say this. The wisest thing that you can do is to have a covenantal relationship with God. And the best covenant is that new covenant that comes through accepting the gospel message. And we all know that this word gospel refers to good news. And what is the good news? That God, through this new covenant, wants to bless you with everlasting life. And what's great about this everlasting life is not simply that it's eternal, but it's in the very presence of God, where you will experience God, His goodness, His blessings forever and ever. So look with me as we take out our Bibles to Psalm 133, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 133. Now it begins, as all of this section does, with the statement, Shir HaMa'alot, a song of ascents. And we have spoken about this word, Shir, meaning song or a poem. And it speaks about God wanting to accomplish His purposes among His people. And the message here is that we can only experience God's purposes and His plans for us when we enter into His will, and we do so within the context of worship. Again, this is one of the psalms that people would recite as they would go forth and up to Jerusalem to worship God. So we need to remember the worshipful context that this psalm is given to us within. So it says here, a song of ascents, but notice something else. We have that familiar expression, Le David, which means of or by David, that teaches us that David is indeed the author of this psalm. And it begins with a very significant word, the word behold. This is a word of attention, meaning we need to pay extra attention to what God is saying in this psalm. It begins with that word, hine, pay attention, literally, the word behold, because God has something significant to say to us. Now, notice how it continues. It says, how good and how pleasant. One of the things that this phrase teaches us, how good and how pleasant, is that the word good relates to the will of God, and the will of God is pleasant. What it means is this, when we are in God's will, and committed to His will, meaning carrying out His purposes, His plans, His programs, when we are doing that, it is going to produce a pleasant experience in our life. Meaning this, that we are going to know God's goodness and we are going to experience this satisfaction. This word na'im in Hebrew for pleasant also relates to satisfaction, meaning this, it is a word that speaks of God fulfilling His will, and that will is going to lead to a wholeness or a completeness in our life, that we're going to have meaning of our life, meaning that this life is going to be full of that which is truly satisfying and has a meaningful experience for us. What is that? He goes on to say, how good and how pleasant dwelling brethren, how even together. Now, it's odd because when we look at this, we have a word that we don't expect. And most of the time, when we look at the translation, it ignores it. But it says here, the dwelling of brethren, even together. And that word even, the Hebrew word gam, speaks of the fact that God wants to do more, that God wants to provide even additional things for us as we demonstrate unity. Now, we need to be careful because unity is good. Unity brings about an additional blessing and goodness and provision from God. But we do not worship unity. Unity is good. And it's only when we are submissive to the purpose of God. Let me say that differently. It's only when we are committed to the truth of God, then unity will be the outcome. We should never compromise truth for the sake of unity. The unity that is good and pleasant is when we are unified through the truth of God. Let's move on to the next verse, the second verse, where it says, as oil. Now, most scholars agree, we're not talking about just any oil, but the anointing oil. And this verse gives us a real important aspect of the context for this unity. Again, we find unity in the anointing, and the anointing is always related to the will of God. So what it's saying here, let's read this verse, as the oil, and then we have a adjective, the good oil. What is that word good there? Because good is related to the will of God, and the anointing is so that we can enter into God's will and to do God's will. So it is the good oil upon the head that goes down upon the beard of Aharon or Aaron, speaking about the first high priest, that goes down upon. And here we have a word that usually refers to a garment. Many would feel that it has to do with that priestly garment that the high priest wears. And notice here, some will say on the edge of the garment, the emphasis here is that this garment is going to be completely soaked with this oil, meaning that it's going to go throughout the entire garment. Why is that important? Well, a garment relates to the work of an individual. And what it's saying here is that all of our work, everything that we do, needs to be done by means of the anointing, simply saying being led by the Spirit of God. And when we are thoroughly and completely committed to the purposes of God, we can expect something. We can expect that commitment to God's purposes, not ours, His will, not ours, His desires, not ours. When we are committed in this way, the anointing is going to empower us. It is going to provide for us everything that we need, and we are going to see things from God's perspective. So a commitment to His will, His purposes, is going to give to us a perspective whereby we will know what we should do, why we should do it, and how to accomplish this purpose. Now the last verse, verse 3, where it says here, this anointing, all the things we've been speaking about, notice it says, as the dew. Now, in many places, the morning dew isn't that important. But in Israel, it is vital. Many of the animals, they survive because of the dew that comes upon the rocks and different vegetation. And so they lick that dew up in order to have liquid, in order to have the sustenance of life. So the dew is very, very significant within the framework of this psalm. It is like the dew of Hermon. Now, this is the chief mountain in the north of Israel, on the Golan Heights. We see here it's as the dew of Hermon that runs down, and we see something so significant. This large and powerful mountain is likened here, and it's not my opinion, we see it. It is as the dew, which is upon Hermon, Mount Hermon, that goes down upon the mountains, and hear this, Zion, the mountains of Zion, and this is a kingdom word. What it's saying here is this: when we are committed to the will of God, when we place ourselves in submissiveness to the purposes of God, we're committed to that. We are going to receive an anointing. That anointing needs to permeate every aspect of our existence, so that our life and every resource that we have, everything that God provides, all of that is under the leadership of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that is going to cause us to be individuals that have a kingdom experience, that are doing the kingdom work. So God wants us to be individuals that serve Him in unity. He wants to bring through His truth the unity of His servants, so that we are recipients of His provision, His power. We understand things from His perspective, that we can completely accomplish the will of God. And that is going to have, and this is the last part of this first half of verse 3, where it says, upon the mountains of Zion. It is going to have kingdom implications. Now, what is the purpose of God's will? We can say it differently. What is the nature, the character of God that He commands us to submit to His will? Well, He has a good purpose for it, because He says, for there, and now we're talking about the last aspect, the mountains of Zion or Zion. For there, and this is emphatic, it's in that place, Zion, that we are going to experience something. For there, the Lord has commanded, and here's His nature. He has commanded blessing. Now, God loves to bless His people. And understand what this psalm is saying is this: there is a close connection, an inherent relationship between the will of God and the blessings of God. If we want God's blessings, and we should, God is not stingy. God is a generous God. When we look at things that speak about the character of God, we see that He is abundant. God lacks nothing. God needs nothing. And God is able to provide in a most abundant way. We all know the verse. Messiah says, I came that I might give you life. And this word for life is a life that's always increasing. It's always growing. It's always manifesting abundance. Now, when we speak about abundance, we're not thinking of finances. We're thinking about the abundance of satisfaction, of joy, of gladness, of contentment, of that peace that passes all understanding. Those things that bring us into intimacy with God. This is what God gives without any restrictions, meaning He gives without any limitations. When we are in His will, committed to His purposes, walking and living and serving under the anointing of God, we can be assured that God is going to give abundantly. He's not going to be restrictive, but He's going to give freely. And that's why it says here, for there, Mount Zion, for there, the Lord commanded the blessing. And what type of blessing? Well, as we keep reading, it says, life unto forever. Now, it may seem odd, but what it's saying here, and when we look at that last word, ha-olam, if you come from a Jewish background and you understand the rabbinical writings, this word ha-olam, which means in most translations, forever or everlasting. We think everlasting life, life without end. That's true. Never would disagree with that. But what I would emphasize is that this word ha'olam is a word, better said, an adjective, the number one adjective that describes the kingdom of God. And therefore, when it says that he's going to give us life unto, it's speaking about life unto a kingdom experience. That's God's goodness. That's God's desire. God wants to give us and have us to experience a foretaste now in this world, but ultimately we will receive the fullness of God's goodness, the full measure of the blessings of God. Where will we receive that? In the kingdom of God. And now, if we believe that, we should be committed to it, and our life should, and this is what this kingdom is, or this psalm is speaking of, that we should have a kingdom mentality, that we should want to exemplify the character of that kingdom, that we should be committed to the work of the kingdom. And in doing this, it's going to bring us into a very different experience. Not experiencing the things of the world, but we can, even in the world, begin to experience, enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. And what are some of those blessings? Joy, peace, contentment, happiness. And it's not going to be dependent upon our experiences, but it's going to be based upon God's ability to bless. So Psalm 133, a short psalm, just three verses, but a most informative song that tells us what our objectives should be, that we should see ourselves, as we see in this scripture, that God wants to make us a kingdom of priests, meaning a kingdom and a holy nation of, and the word priest simply is the word for a servant. A priest is a servant. And through that gospel message, let me say it differently, through that new covenant, we are made into the servants of God. And we need to take that truth and let it guide our life, influence every decision, not only what we do, but how we speak, how we think, in order that when people look at you, when they look at me, if we're in God's will, if we're committed to the truth of this psalm, they are going to see people who are servants of God and have a commitment to the will of God, which is ultimately related to the establishment of his kingdom. Yes, indeed, how good and how pleasant it is when we are operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, committed to the purposes of God, and thereby we will be recipients of what he says here, ha-bracha, the blessing of God. Well, I'll close with that. Until next time, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.